And we are back with another episode, but this time we're on location here at the Mesquite Rodeo in Mesquite, Texas, on the eastern part of the DFW market with our friend Chris Smith with FamWeb Technologies, located here locally in the DFW area. Chris is on to something really special and big, and I can't wait to hear more about it. I've also got my friends and co-hosts with me. I've got Brian Saxton. Man, thanks for being on the show with us today. And then I've got also my colleague and partner in crime, Kara Thomas.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
Great.
Welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us today. Like I said, I can't wait to hear all about you know, what you're bringing to the market and everything else. So say hello.
Hello, everyone.
As we mentioned, we're here at the Mesquite Rodeo location here in Mesquite, Texas. I've never walked in this building. This is the first time for me, so this is pretty special.
This is a cool building. Like I was telling you earlier, my dad used to bring me here when I was little. So being able to come back here after all these years, it's been really cool to see this venue again. And what they hold here is actually really special. So it's a championship series rodeo that lasts from July to August. And it's really cool to come here every Saturday and watch these great athletes. And I mean, that's what they are.
Mm-hmm. And so would you say this is not your first rodeo?
I've never ridden in a rodeo. I've never competed in a rodeo, but this is not my first rodeo to watch.
Yeah.
I couldn't do what they do.
Has much changed since you've been coming here?
Not really. I mean, it's just this atmosphere. The people that come here, they mm-hmm. want a great show. They respect the animals and the athletes that get on these animals, and it's just a lot of camaraderie. And I mean, you can say that for almost any sports, right? I mean, that's just what we love, getting with people to watch the same, you know, competition on the field or the arena or whatever. But
you
know,
it's because you got to introduce us to Caleb here, who runs everything, and he is such a nice guy.
Oh, Caleb's awesome.
Down to earth, just chill and relax. And
yeah,
I can't imagine what he has to do to make this place run.
It's I got to see that firsthand a couple of weeks ago when they had the first responders night.
Mm-hmm.
It was chaos.
Oh wow.
And it was really neat to be able to see him orchestrate everything, including bringing all the SWAT teams, ambulances, fire trucks. Speaking of, I see him right now. Caleb, when you're watching this, I just saw you.
Yeah. And he's the one that got us this room to make sure we could do it.
Yeah. Here, so. I mean, I just, you know, I was talking with Alex and I was like, hey, what if we did this podcast at Mesquite Championship Rodeo, Resist All Arena in Mesquite? He's like, that'd be awesome. So I just called Caleb. He answered. He was out eating, but he answered my phone call. He's like, yeah, dude, I got you. So a 20-second phone call, and we got this set up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What an amazing amount of support that the Mesquite Rodeo has for FamWeb Technologies and that relationship that's really going to help you guys. What kind of partnership have you guys established just up to this point?
Oh, yeah. They have been just been great for FamWeb Technologies because we're, you know, we're still an early startup company. And I'll talk a little bit more about what we're doing here in a little bit. But we're essentially doing our beta testing of one of our products here at the arena, and we're focused on going to be setting up at venues just like this. And so being able to be in an arena like this and get actual testing has been phenomenal, and I can see us being partners for a very long time.
Yep, amazing. So kind of walk us through that story. I mean, how did you get started? How did this all begin, FamWeb Technologies, and to get us to where we are at present time?
Yeah, so it kind of started, I mean, let me kind of go back a little bit. So I had mentioned before, my dad used to bring me here, you know. So my dad actually passed away when I was 16 from skin cancer. And some of my favorite memories that I have with my dad were at sports venues, including in this Resist All Arena. It's just those special memories that you'll treasure forever. So I'm trying to get emotional because I'm thinking about it. But that's what's cool about sports, right?
Right.
No matter what team you're cheering for, whether you're in the arena or you're at home watching, sports brings people together. Some can argue it kind of splits people apart.
So we do have horses in the background. Yes.
We are actually at the Risky Radio.
I'm surprised they picked that up. That's
amazing. I know, right? Jeez. That was not a sound effect.
No, it was not. That was live.
I think I'm going to put that sound effect in my board from now on,
though. You need to.
Yeah.
But no, that's the power of sports from my standpoint. And I was in the military.
Thanks for your service.
Yes, sir. I was in the Navy, and I'm not going to lie, we kind of got in some shitty situations, environments that we're in. But, you know, we're away from our families, and it's a tough environment. Mm-hmm. But the one thing we always had was sports.
Mm-hmm.
We had people from all walks of life in the military, which is awesome. Fans of different teams and just all that shit talking that goes along with it. Even in our darkest moments, we had that to fall on, which is just really cool. So I'm telling you that story because after I got out of the military, I went to Texas A&M, Got my degree in electronic systems engineering technology. So shout out to ESET, class of 22. Whoop.
There's the whoop.
Yeah. I went to a Cowboys game. I go to a lot of Cowboys games. And I went to a Cowboys game in New Orleans. It was my first Cowboys game that wasn't in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And it was in New Orleans. And it was a really cool effect what the Superdome did. When the players came out, they turned the lights off in the Superdome. And then all the Saints fans pulled out their Saints app. And once they got the app going, it listened to the music that the Superdome was playing. And as the players were running out, it lit up your phone, the little light on your phone. And it was in sync with the music. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really cool experience. And I got to thinking, I was like, man, I would love to see something like that in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't we do something like that? And so I kind of went to the drawing board. I'm still a student at this point. Went to the drawing board, talked to a couple of my professors, and found out that not only is it possible, my idea, it hasn't been done before. So I started.
Wow. And that's tough to find.
Yeah. Excuse me. But started doing work, and I'm a college kid, but started doing research on doing, you know, patents and everything like that. And come to find out we have a patent on this. It was published about 4 months ago, which is exciting.
Yeah. What a process that is, I'm sure.
Yes, it's a long process, and it's expensive. And I have been paying for this whole thing out of my pocket. So it's put a strain on my wallet for sure, but it's going to be worth it at the end.
It definitely is.
So we're excited and be able to see it. And, you know, venues like right behind me, eventually you'll be able to see it in places like this. And this is going to be a phenomenal experience that fans have never seen before. And they're going to want to be a part of it.
Very cool. Some challenges that you've overcome. I mean, like you can, whether it's through the patent process or just getting the idea to market or just getting a prototype in place, you know, what are some things you've had to overcome through that journey?
Yeah, the patent was definitely something. It wasn't so much a hurdle. I mean, yes, it's a hurdle because it is a process and it's expensive.
Long and arduous.
Yes, absolutely. But we have phenomenal attorneys that help the process go very smoothly. I think the biggest hurdles that I've had, honestly, it would be time, because I said I'm bootstrapping this company right now. It's not my full-time job yet. I'm a design engineer for Peterbilt, so that's how I'm earning money to pay for this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Man, excuse me. So after my full-time job, I'm also getting my MBA through UNT, and so on top of being a father too, it's just, you know, time.
Wow. Right.
You know, is you know, hard to come by.
It is. So, I can only imagine.
Getting a team assembled, which, by the way, I'm not paying them yet because they know how special this is. So they're giving me their time, right, and because they know this will take off.
Right.
And so being able to work with these guys are phenomenal people, a lot smarter than I am, by the way. just getting these guys together, and they're taking time out of their day because they have full-time jobs as well. And so I think that's the biggest hurdle is just time. But we make it work, and because we know we got something special.
Well, I'm definitely no stranger, neither my team here as well that I work with for my business. You know, we're all bootstrapping. We're all putting things, you know, our hard-earned energy and our hearts into it because, like what you're describing, we know we've got something special. And so I commend you. I'm more than positive that the product that you're bringing to market is something special and that your team has the same vision as you. I would love to hear more about the prototypes that you have.
Sure.
From what I understand, you may have brought one or two things today. You've got the lanyard, you've got the tablet.
Got the lanyards and the tablets.
Yeah. I've been able to see kind of the video of it, but sure. You know, I'd love for you to show us kind of what that piece of equipment looks like and how that application is.
For sure. And just kind of give a backstory. When I had that idea after I went to that Cowboys and Saints game in 2019, my first vision, let me go and grab it. This is, by the way, for people that are watching, this is just a prototype, but we are going to debut these at the Sanger High School game, Sanger, Texas. Their homecoming game, September 29th. And so we're going to be able to display this.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, this is just a prototype, but as you see, it has handles. It's a tablet, literally a tablet that you hold up. It has handles on it. It's about foot by foot.
Yeah, so it's fairly light, right? I got to pick it up earlier.
Oh, it was super light.
Yeah, it's super light, so it's not heavy. I wouldn't describe it as cumbersome. I mean, Kara, how would you describe just kind of having it in your hands or on your lap?
I mean, it weighs nothing.
It's literally weighs nothing.
It's the almost the consistency of having just a giant little Lego that doesn't kill you.
Well, let me ask y'all a question. Have y'all been to a concert or like a game or
something? I'm a Swiftie.
Are you a Swiftie?
Yeah,
he is a Swiftie.
I went to the Reputation tour.
But I get the infatuation with it. I do. Because
cried together.
I'm like
the
that
stadium
with,
and
I'm
I.
Like that with the Cowboys. So it's a love hate relationship between the Cowboys. I'm telling you.
Yes.
But no. Have you ever seen like people? This is really popular at concerts. The artists will say, "Hey, turn your phone on," mm-hmm. and so people pull out their phone. And back in the day, it used to be lighters.
Right.
Now it's like phones, right? And
they yeah.
flashlights.
So that's, and that's effective, right? It's really
yeah.
cool.
The whole stadium
right.
lights
and that's
up.
One
it's
LED.
Way brighter.
That's
right.
one little LED that each person has, and they're all and people love being a part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like they become part of the experience. So now, put this in your hands, and this has over 4,000 LEDs. So
just on that one.
Just on this one.
Just
yeah.
a couple more than
holy
the
smokes.
Yeah, just a couple more. and this is really going to light it up, right? So the whole idea behind this, and I'll kind of make it kind of short. When people hold this up, like if right now it's just me, and if you're watching, it's just me. But if we had, imagine the stadium behind us, and we had different sections, and every person had one of these in their hands, and when they were told to, they held it up. Well, each one of these acts as a pixel on a larger screen that we call screen floating. So it's a giant screen that the fans are now making. And then what's cool is you throw motion graphics on it. So if you think about it, it's like a digitized wave.
Right.
So you hold it up, and it tells you when to hold it down, and you put it down, and then watch the show, because the next section, now they're holding it up, and it's going to start going around the whole stadium. So if you're at the rodeo, you'll see like a cowboy riding a horse, and all of a sudden it's going around the entire stadium on a screen that's made by the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a phenomenal experience that the fans can be a part of. And just to see this at events like this and Dallas Cowboys games eventually.
Right.
Texas A&M
games.
And
that would be a pride moment.
Did you hear that, Jerry?
How durable is that piece of equipment?
So this one, I mean, these are just prototypes, right? Mm-hmm. This enclosure is just something I 3D printed.
Okay.
So this is, I mean, I could throw this right now and it'll probably break.
Yeah. Moving forward, like, what are your
aspirations
for that?
Yeah, for sure. So the ones they're what's called IP67 rated. So that means that it's not going to allow moisture or water to get into it. So obviously alcohol is involved in sports and mm-hmm. people are going to spill their beers
right.
on it. And so that won't affect it. If it gets rain on like an outdoor venue, that'll help protect it as well. You can drop it. You know, it'll be, it won't shatter.
Yeah.
This one will.
So imagine people come in, they grab one, or maybe it's at their seat,
so,
perhaps,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So for these, for this product, the tablets, they're already in your seat. So we're developing like a little sleeve that's going to be on the back side of a seat.
Okay.
It just slides in there.
Okay.
And so it's there whenever you get to the game, you don't have to do anything. The only thing you have to do is when Dak Prescott throws a touchdown,
throw it up.
It'll have like a little timer on the back and it says 3, 2, 1. When it says up, you just literally hold it up. And then when it says down, you hold it down and just watch the show. So then you can put it back in the sleeve and I don't have to worry about it.
Now, Chris, how is all that controlled? I mean, you've got to have, is there somebody else in a booth somewhere at the stadium that's got programming or what's
absolutely.
Kind of that?
Absolutely. So
there's
actually a couple different levels in this, right? You have, you have people that are going to be controlling the motion graphics going there, like when to time it. So it's essentially, we'll have libraries and motion graphics. There'll be different triggered events, a touchdown, when you need a defensive play. And this is just football related, right?
Right.
That these examples are football related. So like if you're at the rodeo, when someone rides 8 seconds, they get a bull and they ride 8 seconds. That can be another triggered event. And so that's, you had to have someone watching the event to know like, hey, something just happened. Send the signal out. It's going to send the signal to the tablets. Let the people know when to hold it up, and it's going to pull from a library to display whatever motion graphic you want to display.
And that's something your team would provide, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And we work with collaborations. So, for example, Texas A&M has 12th Man Productions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their whole production crew. So in instances like that, we would work hand in hand with them. I'm sure they'd want to have control what goes on there, and rightfully so.
Right.
I'm sure most of these bigger venues would, but
100%.
Being able to send their motion graphics to our tablets, we'll have to work with them on that.
Mm-hmm.
But and then what's cool about these two is they're going to have location technology in them. So why that's important is because, say, like, if I'm sitting next to Kara and we're, say, Eagles fans. I hate the Eagles. Okay. We're
but
Eagles
let's pretend
fans
you
and the Cowboys.
Were.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that one.
I went to the Jets-Cowboys game. That was a lot of fun.
No. Broncos, Colts, 49ers, anybody else?
Did you say Broncos and Colts because we're at a rodeo?
No. My grandfather was a Broncos fan when he lived in Colorado. So
let's use Broncos.
That's the first one.
Okay, so you're a Broncos fan. Well, yeah. Are you a Broncos fan or a Cowboys fan?
I don't follow sports. I just kind of go with the flow.
She's a chicken
ball.
Wings kind of fan.
Yeah, we need to get her in sports. I think
nachos.
Yeah, we do.
Once
take me to a game, I'll be all into it. You tell me who to root
she'll wear
for,
the
I'll
jersey.
It.
She'll put the banner on that.
I'll give her a
band.
Tablet. She'll be
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'll do it.
Exactly.
Do it.
She 100% will.
So let's pretend you're a Broncos fan. I'm a Broncos fan. I'm not. Go Cowboys. And we, Cowboys score a touchdown. We're like, you know what? Screw this. They're about to do this cool effect. Let's swap our tablets because we want to mess up that image, right? So you and I, we swap tablets. Well, what's going to happen is because they're location-based, or they're based on location with centimeter accuracy, by the way.
I was literally going to ask that next. I mean, how accurate that would be. Because I was already putting scenarios in my head.
It knows the difference between here and here. And so then it reconfigures itself and will display the right part of the image that's going to be displayed when it
Because of the location-based software.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And so Brian has an IT background. He's getting what you're throwing down.
Perfect. So, that's another level of how these things are controlled. So, hi, Mom.
Sorry, those are my children.
He ain't going far. He's not
having fun
at
the rodeo.
We might see him on the carpet.
The carpet.
Oh, wow. No. Caleb, you didn't hear that. But yeah, these are the tablets. This is our I guess flagship product. This was my first original idea. Were these tablets. That's what I came up with after going to that Saints game, Cowboys and Saints game in 2018 in New Orleans. And so this is what I've been working on ever since. The problem with these, they're really expensive. Mm-hmm. Even the prototypes, these are really expensive.
And, right.
You know, when you get to a stadium, they have like 80,000 seats. That's a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so what we started to do, my team came to me and was like, hey, we need to come up with a different product that's cheaper to make. We can get out in the market faster and start, expanding our brand awareness for FanWeb while working on the location technology that was still being the tablets. So it's like we're getting to market faster while still building the baseline for the screen floating.
And not worried about getting one of those back if they're taken.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. People ask me that all the time. They're like, hey, people are going to steal these. Well, this is not small. This is not something you just, like, put underneath your jacket and walk out with. I get it. People are creative. They're going to find ways to steal these.
Yep.
What? There's a couple things working in our favor for this. The fact that they're based on location, we can have it to where if they go past a certain point in a stadium, we can make it start lighting up like with fast frequency.
Yeah, bright orange or something.
Put a little speaker in there too, to make the noise go off.
Well, Brian, that's going to increase the cost.
Of course it will.
It's gonna be like Brian and I going golfing. We went outside of the range and the golf cart stopped like in the middle of the parking lot.
Oh yeah.
Did you have to get out and push it?
I had to push it all the way
back in. You get a speaker for 5 cents now on those.
That's fine. Yeah.
So would you anticipate, Chris, leaving these in the stadium? So would the stadium then acquire the units, they'd store them at the location,
absolutely,
and they would just be there, right?
And, okay, you pay attention to what stadiums are, the amount of money they're investing right now in the fan experience, right?
Right.
The Intuit Arena that just opened up for LA Clippers, they have power in their seats now. So that's coming. So you're going to have power in your seats for outlets and
outlets
be able to
charge
your phone.
Yeah.
Right? So now imagine the sleeve that I was talking about on the back side of the seat. But now you have these, and it's wireless charging. So you just put it in the back of that sleeve, and then you don't have to, and you charge it.
Yeah.
So you're not having to collect them. You're not having to redistribute them. But in the meantime, that's what we're unfortunately going to have to do until we get those powered seats. And
they just did something with the Cowboys saying they are now worth the very first sports team ever to be worth more than $1 billion.
No, $10
billion. It's $10
billion
now?
Yeah, they forgot a zero.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams worth over $1 billion.
$10 billion. So they've got money to spend if they really want to go for it. So
that would be really cool.
So I personally know Jerry Jones. He is an amazing businessman.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a feat to be able to eventually, hopefully, I get a chance to present this idea to him and then be able to explain why he needs it. Because, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need this.
No, he doesn't.
He's already selling out the stadium, but fans, it's all about fan experience. Without fans, the sports teams are nothing. And we learned that during COVID, right? We learned how important fans were. They were even generating, when no one was allowed in the stadiums, they were generating fan noise for the players, so they felt like they were in a game situation.
And fake, fake people sitting in the stands.
Yeah, like the Texas Rangers, they had like cardboard cutouts.
Cardboard
fans
cutouts
are important, and so these sports organizations obviously understand that the heartbeat of their organization is the fans, and so they do a lot of they spend a lot of money to keep their fans intrigued with the different fan experiences. And this is something that's never been done before, and I'm excited to get this on the market and see it in action. Again, we're going to have just a small sample size of this at Sanger High School this year. September 27th, 2024. So I know, Alex, you said you want to come out. I'll let you.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Come out.
We'll bring everybody.
There you go.
I'll be in town, so I'm down.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
There we go.
I'll bring my kids.
You already got us.
Perfect.
I'm actually, Chris, I'm more excited, or even more excited about the lanyard as well because of what its application can do outside of just the visual effects.
Absolutely.
I know last time that you and I had an opportunity to speak about FanWeb Technologies. We talked about positioning within an arena. You know, where are concession stands having struggle, or where can we reposition something within the arena to be more profitable? So I'd love for you to kind of go into more depth about the lanyard, kind of its other uses within the market.
Yes.
As well. Then you have a prototype of that as well.
Yeah, here. I do. Let me grab it real quick.
It's right here.
Oh, thanks, Brian.
Got it for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kara, for putting it down. Yeah, so this is the product that I was just talking about where my team came to me like, hey, we need to come up with something more viable. It's cheaper to make and start getting out there. And so, again, this is just a prototype. It's just a little lanyard for those that are watching. It's a lanyard that goes around your neck. It just holds on your chest. It stays on your chest right here. So what these are going to do, these are location-based as well, just like the tablets. So what's cool about these is when you come into a venue and you put this on, it has LEDs in the back, and so it's going to light up based on your location. And that is actually really cool. Whenever you have a larger venue, like the Texas State Fair, perhaps, it's a huge venue over hundreds of acres.
I couldn't imagine, yeah.
And they have a single map that you're folding out, and you're like, wait, where am I? Okay, there's Big Tex, and there's Fletcher's Corn Dogs, and you're trying to find that on the map. Like, where the heck am I?
I'm flashing yellow. This section is yellow.
Yes, exactly. So this lanyard, right, is location-based, so it changes color based on your location. So you look at your lanyard, I say, oh, it's blue or yellow, like you said. And you look at the map, and you find the zone on the map. Like, okay, that's where I'm at. And so this will change color as you walk around the venue. And what's cool about this, because it is location-based, we're able to pull this data off and turn around and give it to the venue, which is really crucial for them because now they're going to be able to know where their patrons are, the average time they're spending, and we can even divide it up into like individual vendors.
Right.
So you have like different booths around a certain arena. And so you know how many people are at each individual booth. You can turn around and give that information to the vendors. Like, you had 212 people that stopped by your booth today, and they spent an average of 4 minutes looking at your merchandise. And so that's data that hasn't been available to them before. And it's already really valuable.
Unless they paid somebody to stand there figuring out how many people are coming
by. Yeah, and then even that information is not even accurate. So this is accurate to a T.
Takes the human effect out of it.
It's very, the technology in it, we're able to, you can have booths right next to each other and be able to determine if I'm at booth A or booth B when they're just literally feet apart from each other.
That's amazing. So,
yeah. Right. Because I imagine you might even be able to use that technology in something that's not handheld or visual. So that same technology that you're using to track that data, you might be able to put that into like a wrist device for somebody or other application.
Right. Sure, I mean, right. And that's already being done, right? This location technology is nothing new. I mean, there's asset management Amazon uses it for with their warehouses, right? And a bunch of, almost everyone does it because everything now is just data driven. And so being able to track your assets and where they are, like in a big facility, and you're like, okay, where's this box? Or if you own a trucking company, like, where's this truck at? You know exactly where it's at based on its location. So this technology is nothing new.
But what you've done is you've applied that to the now fan experience.
Exactly. Right? Now we're putting it into the sports industry, sports entertainment industry. And so being able to turn around and provide valuable data for a market that hasn't been done in yet.
Right.
And so that's what's exciting. And, again, this is building upon the location that, or the technology that's going to be used in our flagship product, which is the screen floating. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. So, what's your approach to growth and scaling your business for FanWeb over the next, let's say 6 months, and then maybe the next 4 years or so?
Right. So, for now, what we're trying to do is be able to prove this technology works, and that's why the Mesquite Rodeo has been so crucial for us because we've been in a live setting with actual people, setting up our equipment. The tags, the receivers, things like that, and actually walking around. And by the way, there's a lot of like different obstacles. Which obstacles affect? You're in IT.
Yeah, obstacles you're describing, like the bars within
metal,
the rodeo,
metal. They have metal, wood,
the risers,
and then you throw people into it too,
right?
People are they're moving objects, and so they're like crossing the pass between the tag and then the anchor. So between the lanyard and then the anchor that it's talking to determine its location.
Right.
And so we've been able to manipulate the system to figure out. How that works and how it's affected by different obstacles like that.
So you've really been in an extreme environment as the Mesquite Rodeo with all the different elements in there, being able to test the equipment, understand how to make modifications as needed so that way when you get to the Sanger High School stadiums and other football arenas within that size or other major sporting events, you've kind of already weathered the storm and figured out some bugs there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole point of this. But to answer your question about scalability, obviously for any company, the more customers you have, the more, the more profit you're gonna have. So what we're trying to do right now is determine to market to individual companies based on their needs. Whether they want the data on venues, like the state fair, they're gonna want something. I imagine I mean, I haven't. There's no official capacity with the state fair or anything like that. No,
not yet.
But I assume they want something like this, right? And then so that's the data part of it. Then you come to a venue like the Mesquite Rodeo or the Dallas Stars invited me out. That was a really cool experience, by the way. They put us in a suite and we pitched us to them. But be able
awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was really cool. To be able to show that experience within the stands, right? I mean, that's what they're focused on is the fan experience.
Right.
Yep.
Well, the people sitting in the stands. And so based on, because we're going to be marketing to those two different, I guess, customers, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we have two different products to kind of tailor to what they need. And so that's how we're going to be able to scale this business. And so I'm really excited about what's coming.
Yeah, no, it sounds really exciting. Chris, how do people get in touch with you? What's kind of like your web address? If they are interested in learning more,
sure.
Can they obtain a prototype, or what is kind of that first step into someone or an arena or the state fair that's interested sampling it?
Well, the first step is to contact us, right? So we are FanWeb Technologies. Our website is www.fanwebtech.com. That's FANWEBTECH.com. And so how this works is you get in touch with us, kind of like how we did with Mesquite Championship Rodeo. We're going to come out. We're going to have to be able to assess the venue. And that's going to be the cool part, is like whenever this starts launching and we got to go all over the country or even around the world to go into these amazing billion-dollar stadiums and do
pretty much. I'll be your road crew.
Right? I'll do it for free.
Yeah, just pay for my hotels and give me some beer money.
I can do that. But just be able to go into those venues and stadiums and be able to essentially map them out, if you will.
Right.
Figure out, okay, where are the weak points in the stadium as far as where our anchors need to go, be able to set up our personal, our own private network for our products. And so we'd have to come out to you. You can't just buy the prototype, obviously,
right,
because you have to have everything with just the prototype. This is nothing without everything else that comes with it. So we'll have to come out, evaluate the venue, the stadium, set it up, and then start doing our initial testing and then be able to.
How long do you think that process will take about? So venue, let's say the Cowboys, right? They're like, we're in. This sounds great. Setting up the venue, what's kind of that duration of time that you think?
You know, I mean, that's kind of to be determined right now. I mean, we haven't done a full-scale installation like that. But I think each individual customer, if you will, is going to be different, because you're going to have different policies like, hey, you can't – we're not going to allow you to put your own private network in here.
Right.
You're going to have to use ours. Or it could be – can't use ours, you have to use your own private one. So that's going to affect how long it takes and just
more
be able
or less
to work
dead spots too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a whole nother ball of wax.
Oh, it's
ball of wax. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things that go into this, right? Because you have teams at these larger venues that their own IT teams that are managing, all they do is managing the network. And so being able to work with those guys and be doing the installations and figure out where we're going to have our control room and things like that. I wouldn't say it's a short amount of time, but what we've been able to do here, it doesn't take that long.
Right.
How long did it take you here at Mesquite?
It took us, we set up, because, I mean, it's not a small arena, but it's nothing like Cowboy Stadium, right?
Is it like
right.
10,000 people here,
roughly? No, I think it's like...
I would say it's smaller than Dickie's, but it's
I'd say about 6,000 people.
6,000?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Caleb, you're watching this, you might correct me like you idiot. It's false advertisement.
We'll need 12,000.
Yeah. So... but anyways, for this venue, it didn't take us long. We only focused on one side because we wanted to start small, right?
Just okay.
So on one side, we started on the east side of the venue, and it took us 20 minutes to set up our anchors.
Oh, it's not bad at all.
No,
that's not bad at all.
No, I mean,
I recorded a high school marching band show, and I was in the stadium for 22 hours setting up and tearing it back down.
Yeah.
It was all day. But that's cables. We had to run cables all the way down a thing. So it's what your technology is. It's all RF frequencies, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking. So there's nothing that has to be a wire or installed per se, right? It's just having a location to submit that signal, and then your devices are completely remote.
Yeah, it's wireless other than the anchors themselves have to be plugged into power.
Right.
So as long as you have a power source, we're able to mount those. In a place we see fit, typically these anchors give like off an umbrella effect, and so you want them up higher so that it can go farther and capture more devices that come in. Also, it gets less if you have it like, you know, head level broadcasting out. It's going to have a lot of interference of people walking right in front of it. So you have it higher, it kind of broadcasts down on everybody, and so just getting it set up. As long as you have a power source, it doesn't take long at all.
Very cool. Yeah. Anything else you want to share just about Chris, hobbies, or just the kind of last final notes regarding, you know, some work-life balance and how you're going to get through this next couple months?
Well, I'm halfway through my MBA. So I have 6 more classes to go. So I have a year left of that, and I can't wait for that to be over. It's been fun, but I'm ready to have a little bit more time to spend with my wife and my son and my friends. And like I said, I come home from work after working at least 8 hours a day at Peterbilt and go straight into either doing schoolwork or fan web work, or my son's in baseball. So,
yeah.
I know, by the way, kids baseball is so much more fun than going to like a Rangers game.
I agree with that.
I'm like, it is so cool.
Until
like,
he messes it
but up. T-ball is not fun either.
No, okay.
My son didn't even finish his T-ball season. He was like, I'm done.
Played with the dirt the whole time.
Oh, well, I think all kids do, right? Once they start getting the catch of it, so my son's 10, and so now he's in kid pitch, and they're starting to learn those fundamentals of baseball. But it's just really fun to watch them. Obviously, they're not million-dollar athletes like you get at a Rangers game. It's fun to actually watch them learn the game,
right?
Like right in front of you. And that's why I like doing it. And it's like, you know, they get the ball and they don't know what to do with it, and it's just it's funny. And it's
like
just
the
6 or 7 year
olds at soccer too, where they're all following the ball in one giant swarm.
Yeah, it's fun. So yeah. I enjoy it. But no, I think once I'm done with school and finally just get more time, and my big goal is to be able to do FanWeb full time. Where I can turn them a 2 week notice at Peterbilt, I'm like, hey, I'm going to do something.
We call that firing your boss outside of the track.
Yeah. Boss, if you're watching this, one of these days you're going to be fired. It's coming.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you know, it's definitely rewarding. I've lived that journey myself. When I built my business, you know, I would go from work and call Hawaii till 11 o'clock at night, because then that would be 5 o'clock over there. So I'm more than confident that the hard work that you're putting in and everything that you bring into this market is going to be viable and future, push the needle forward. And may God bless you and your business and everything.
Well, thank you.
It's going to be awesome to see you in the future.
Thank you. And it's been a pleasure being here with you guys. So thank you all so much.
Absolutely. So again, it's FanWeb Technologies. You can find them online. You can find them local in the DFW market. Your office is in Frisco, Texas at the Star. So I'm sure you look over at Jerry, do the finger thing. You're like, man, come on, man. I see you.
I'm in there all the time.
Thanks so much. We'll definitely keep track of FanWeb Technologies and Chris, and join us for another session with Chris and his team as we follow his journey.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.